Well, when I talk hockey and I say, tell me the most familiar name, the person that is really most closely associated with the sport, I think probably 9 out of 10 people would probably say Gordie Howe. 32 years of pro hockey, 26 of those years in the NHL and 25 of those with Detroit in the Hall of Fame. And as I said, a man that when I first time I saw him, I knew I was seeing something very special. I was a young kid at that time, and every time I saw Gordie Howe, whether it be on television or in person, I just felt very fortunate to be able to watch him. Gordie, good evening. Good to have you with us tonight on Sports Byline.
I'm happy to be along, Ron, and thank you for the nice compliment.
I'd like to know who gave you the nickname Mr. Elbows.
Everybody. I don't know, see, a lot of people know me real good, know their shoulders are very sloped, and this is not a fib, but basically what I used to do is put my arm across my chest, so when I hit somebody, it's just an automatic reaction. A lot of times people thought I was using the elbow when I wasn't, but there was occasions when they were right.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any predetermined time, or did you know there was going to be a situation where you needed to be physical with the body? Are there such circumstances in hockey?
Yes, I think a lot of people don't realize every game you play, you get hurt a little bit. It accumulates over the year. You know, you don't know how the severity of some of it. I'm paying for a few right now, but basically, you had to be strong in the corners, and I realized that. But when I was only 17 and I played for Tommy Ivan in Omaha, that's when one of my teammates got in trouble. I jumped over the boards to help him, and Tommy Ivan, after I served my penalty, said, "What's the matter with you? Don't you like him?" I said, "I don't like anyone out there," and I never missed another shift. So I decided if that's what it takes to be a hockey player, then that's what I'll be. So I was like a dog catcher. I chased everything out there. And then, then finally Jack Adams said, "Young man, you can fight, but can you play hockey?" So he put the gloves on me, the white ones.
You were 16 years old when you joined the Detroit Red Wings, right?
Yeah, I went to their farm system, yes. I didn't play, but I spent 1 year in Galt.
Well, I asked that question because that's such a tender age. Did you feel kind of like you had been thrown out on your own at a very young age?
Yes and no. I was surrounded with the people that had the same common interests I did, the game of hockey. So the adjustment wasn't that bad. I did one silly thing, though, which I regret even yet, and that was when I went to Galt. I felt very, very self-conscious and a little bit shy, and I went to the high school, and everybody's patting on one another on the back and saying hello, and then I'm standing there not knowing anyone, and so the final minute, I don't know who it would be, but some gentleman come by, and I gave him my books and walked down the railroad tracks and took a job, and they said, "Anybody will vouch for you?" And I said, "Yes." And I gave him the name to the general manager of the Galt Red Wings, and sure enough, instead of patting me on the back of the head and sending me back to school, he said, "If he wants to work, let him work." So that's what I did.
Do you think that today's players are a little bit more pampered when they become professionals than, say, 20, 25 years ago?
To a degree, yeah. Things were pretty bad back then. Even when I had my ribs broken on me and playing in Boston, the trainer, Carl Mattson, helped me shower and get dressed, and then they handed me a slip of paper and had to name the doctor in the hospital. The only question he asked, "Do you have enough money to get there?" So I went out and I had to hail a cab to go to the hospital and get my ribs fixed. Now they have, which they should do, they have an ambulance on premise of three or four doctors, which it gives you a little more confidence out there, because anything can, even the people in the stands. And back then when we kept saying, "Well, what if somebody gets hit in the stands with a puck, you know, hit him in the facial, and maybe it'd be an eye or something, and you go into the boards and you're both hurt, who does the doctor administer the help to?" So this is the argument I had, and finally with the club where I played with, and they finally went out and got a couple other doctors to be there.
Mm-hmm. Gordie, one of the things that I've been interested about, and I think you can give a real good perspective on it, in all sports we have seen the performance enhanced over 10, 15, 20, 25 years through different eras. What is it about the athlete and the development of it, of that athlete, say, from the 50s to the 60s, right into the 90s, that have allowed them to perform at such a higher level? What is that metamorphosis that they have gone through to become the highly skilled, high-performance athlete that they are today that they were not, say, 30 or 40 years ago?
Well, there's a combination of many things. Right now, what we used to have to do on the work in construction to build myself up, they can do it with weights now and nice, clean pair of shorts and go in there and work on the different parts of the body, which the trainer will tell you to, and it might be the biceps or the back or maybe the legs, whatever it takes to be a better hockey player. He can give you that word on what to do, and then the rules themselves in the game of hockey, as in football and everything else, they change considerably. Baseball, you can't throw at a guy without getting thrown out of the game now, and you can't run over the quarterback. That's a no-no. And in the game of hockey, what they did, they opened it up considerably when they allowed more than a one-line pass, which we used to have. And as long as the puck precedes you and you start onside, then all 200 feet are open. So it's a quicker game. The equipment is better. The buildings are better. And the men themselves, they're bigger and stronger now. It's just they have learned the better things to eat. And I say it's a combination of everything you can think of, because in every sport known, the records are being broken. And that's because they are learning from the past players. And I learned from Rocket, and somebody else is learning from myself.
I know in talking to players in any sport from a different era, they always talk about their love for the game, and they talk about how that may be missing today because it is such a big business. How does the motivation of money affect athletes today, in your opinion, compared to the way it was when you were making less than these athletes today in hockey and other sports?
Well, that less is, you may as well stretch that out. It's a lot less. But we really, truly enjoyed it. And I would say, like a fellow like Ted Lindsay, and Ted was always barking at different things, and now all of a sudden there's some exhibition game to play where you go out there and have to hustle and work, and what happens is that there's no money involved other than for charity, and the guys love it. And yet we used to really beef about it before, but I got a lot of ice time. I wasn't too concerned about that, and along with that, I had good line mates, and then I worked very hard to understand their different plays, and that's... And I truly enjoyed it. I would have enjoyed it probably more if there had been more money, because we wouldn't have had to work as hard as we did. When I was making $10,000 a year, which was in about when I got married, which was about my ninth year in the league, I had to have a summer job to get by. So the monies definitely were not there. The guys are getting paid a lot more now. I hope they take care of that money, because it surprisingly, the game ends very, very quickly to a lot of people.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. When I mention the names Gretzky, Lemieux, and Brett Hull, and I'm just wondering, it's one thing for the fans to have an appreciation for what they do and what they can do, but for a person who has put the skates on, who has played the game, I'm sure you probably pick up on nuances and have appreciations that maybe the average person, average fan would not. When I mention those three names, what is it about those three that you appreciate the most?
Just the greatness. They're at it. I think a fellow like Wayne Gretzky always says the right thing. And Brett Hull, I think he's not exactly a acorn not too far from the tree. This guy's a tree himself. He's and a good kid. I just went up to congratulate him when he was in Hartford, and he just looked at me and said, "Come from you, that means a lot." So he's very respectful, and that from an old-timer, I appreciate that. Mario, I think, has grown up. At the start, there used to be a little bit of bellyache, and I think that took away from his greatness.
The man they call Mr. Hockey, Hall of Famer Gordie Howe, has joined us and you this hour. We'll take a quick break here. Open up those lines around the country as well if you'd like to talk a little hockey with Gordie. We'll take a break, come back on the other side, continue across the country and around the world with you on America's Sports Talk Show.